CII Radio, embracing Africa one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. We're trying this for the second time. We're battling with load shedding here and poor connection. But hopefully we will be able to get through today's show, inshallah. So we were talking about Jamil and his phobia of sunscreen before, before we got...
Yeah, so it's really not a phobia. It's just something that I dislike. Like, honestly, it's it just makes you feel really hot. It feels uncomfortable. It melts and goes into your eyes. And yeah, is there any like specific one that you find like works better, or maybe I'm doing it wrong? Maybe you need to do it like in the morning, or like is there a specific time or like
wait? They say you're supposed to do it, I think, 30 minutes before. But if it's SPF 50, it only lasts for 50 minutes. So I don't.
Is that what the numbers mean?
Apparently.
Okay.
I don't know. Don't quote me on this.
Okay.
But that's...
But you know you're supposed to wear sunscreen every day, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to. But some of us, like I said, we had tinted windows, so and aircon, so we were okay. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. But Brother Jamil, tell us, why did you get your passport stamped?
Okay, so it's actually something very interesting. I think we touched on it the week before. Something very, very close to my heart, because, you know, I'm firstly a Suzuki fan, and secondly, the Jimny is like one of my favorite cars. It's one of those, I don't know, it's like, it's one of those cars that they have like a cult following, but there's a reason why. Like, it just stands for so much. Like, it only signifies so much. It's like the freedom to go anywhere, do whatever you want. I mean, it's affordable. Based on what it can do, it really is affordable, right?
Yes.
And it's also the smallest actual 4x4, like off-roader, like a serious off-roader. It's really, really capable, so it's going to get you everywhere. And obviously, after, I think it's about 50 years of heritage, they now brought a five-door, meaning a four-seater five-door. So you can take your kids along, you can take your... whoever you want to take it, right? Whoever's up for the adventure, you can take it along. You can take them along. And that's the reason that we went to Botswana, right? So both you and I went on separate rotations. How was yours?
It was very good. I went on the Friday, and I went on the probably the quickest flight in South Africa, from Johannesburg to Polokwane.
Okay, so let me just... I just have a comment on, firstly, that airport and the plane that we flew in.
Okay.
I think I've seen Quantums that loaded more people than the plane, number one.
And the ceiling was higher as well.
Oh, my goodness. You couldn't stay, and you have to do, like, this limbo to get out of the plane. But also, I don't know if it's just because it's a small plane, but that pilot, like, handbrake turns that thing. Tell me you felt it?
Yes.
Like both times, turning into Polokwane Airport and OR, it's like a tight turn. It's like, you know, people are looking around like,
is he going to make it?
Yeah, it's one of those flights where, you know, you don't even finish your packet of peanuts and raisins.
But that's the thing. they literally give you the snack, and then they say, okay, put your tray table up, we're about to land. And I'm like, why don't they give us the snacks when we enter the plane? Because it's so quick.
Yeah,
it's literally, I think it is probably, I don't know if there's anything quicker than that.
So I know like talk about like on the ticket, I think it said like 50 minutes.
Yeah, but
I was like,
it took like 30 minutes. I think this guy was speeding also.
And it's also like quite a comical flight, because the moment the aircraft takes off, like, you know, you feel a little bump in your stomach, like, as it lifts off.
Yeah.
Like, the crew are, like, around, like, you know, like, can you get yourself your drink? Like, you need to get this over and done. It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Petersburg Airport, like Polokwane Airport.
It's not Petersburg anymore.
Yeah, sorry. Polokwane.
You see, you're still saying that. Remember we spoke about
this. Yes. The Polokwane Airport is special. I mean, I've seen houses bigger than that. And then it's quite weird, because when we got dropped off at the airport, I actually asked someone in the vehicle, Are we in like the service entrance? Is this the main entrance of the airport? Like, because it's almost as if you're entering through where, you know, these trucks are like loading food onto planes or like changing the plane tires. Or, like, we're in like this like, industrial environment.
Because you're passing, I don't know if you saw like a military base or something.
Yes, yes.
And then you go into the airport.
Yes. It was just weird. It didn't seem quite welcoming as a tourist. You know, it's more like service based. Like, yeah.
But maybe it is a military airport.
I have no idea. Well, it's an international airport.
But yeah, it is. I saw that. But if there's anyone from Polokwane, tell us about
your
airport.
To defend your airport because it's tiny as well.
But it serves its purpose. We got there and we got back, alhamdulillah.
Yes.
So. So
why did you fly to Polokwane?
So you said we went to see the Suzuki 5-door Jimny. So we actually saw it at the Festival of Motoring. That was the first time.
Very, very like sneak peek, right?
Yeah, it was
so
a sneak
peek. This was the official launch in South Africa.
Yes. And they chose a nice route for us from Polokwane.
I think, honestly, the route that was chosen was so strategic because it really allowed you to feel what a Jimny is.
Yeah.
I think when we covered urban, we covered, you know, this farm back roads, highway driving, gravel, just normal gravel, sand, mud, rocks, everything.
Yeah. No, we just didn't go through water and snow.
Well, we went through water.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've got it on video.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes.
It was like a swamp.
Quite a bit of water.
Yeah, there was. Because we were actually driving through the riverbed. Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. So we arrived in Polokwane. What a welcome to the only 5-star hotel in the whole of Polokwane. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I did think it was a really...
No, not in Polokwane, in Limpopo. The only 5-star hotel in the whole of Limpopo. Sorry.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
In the whole province, there's one 5-star hotel.
Well, did you see how fancy that hotel was? So it's the Fusion Boutique Hotel. If you want to go and Google it now and see the pictures, but I don't even think the pictures do justice to what you actually see when you get
there. It was over fancy. Like I didn't even really like touch things. Like I was gonna break things.
Yeah. So there was mirrors upon mirrors upon mirrors, frames. But yeah, we'll post some pictures and you'll see. But if you want to, you can Google it. So we were hosted there for the night. So we got introduced to the Jimny. We had a nice African welcome at the. Did you have the thing?
We had it.
Yeah. We got to choose some shades from Bourbon. Was it Bourbon? Yeah. Did you wear your shades?
No.
Well, you can't wear shades. Yeah. And then we stayed over for the night.
So obviously, there's a lot of like work that goes into a launch as well. I mean, one aspect of it is driving the vehicle, testing the vehicle, etc. But there's a lot of information based. So generally, how it works with all these launches, at the starting of the launch, is always like, a presentation. So members of the OEM in this regard, obviously Suzuki will, take the stage, explain the car to us, tell us about it, introduce us, etc., and just give us all the necessary information. And obviously with the Jimny, there's a lot to speak about because it has 50 years of heritage, and then obviously going forward we talk about all the features in the new car, what it's about, and then it kind of preps you to know what to look for and what to test the next day.
And they had quite a nice little intro video with Sir David Attenborough.
That was amazing.
Unfortunately, we weren't allowed to record it or video it because of, it's Sir David Attenborough. But he basically gave us a rundown of the Jimny in its, like he would talk about any wild animal on his geographic shows.
That was really that video.
It was
so general,
Yeah. So that was the night, and then the morning we set off to where?
Okay, so it was actually quite early. We had an early start because we finished quite late. I don't know about you guys, but we were done quite late.
And it was about 11, I think.
Yeah, and then I think at about 7 we were asked to regroup for a driver briefing. You get paired up with the driver and all of that. And we were given our route. So it was quite nice. We're driving a convoy of about, oh, maybe like 20, 20.
think there were 16. Yeah, maybe 20. I don't know.
Maybe it's a 15 to 20, somewhere around. We've got a lot of Germany. And our lead car was a five-door Germany. Like, kicked it out, right? Like, it looked so cool. Roof rack from front runner. You know, you had the max tracks, extra fuel, all these kind of things. So that was our lead car.
And a tuck shop.
And that's
Yeah,
obvious.
so the snacks were there.
Literally, if we had to protect that vehicle, that was our everything,
Yeah.
right? So we ended up leaving from Polokwane with our first destination being the, I think, is it the Platian border
Yes.
into Botswana?
Yes.
And let me tell you, Botswana, well done. Your guys' roads are absolutely amazing.
Yes.
The road getting, I wish the entire, well, the last, call it 80 or 90 kilometers of South African road into Botswana, I just wish it was gravel. Really, it was easier to drive. We were dodging potholes like it was absolutely insane. I don't know how people drive it. There was times, I'll show you a video, where guys in our convoy actually started driving off the road. They literally took off on the side of the road. We were driving four cars abreast in the lanes,
Yes.
like trying to dodge. Oh, it
That's what I
was
was going to
grand.
say. There was three different routes that were taken
Yeah.
because each guy decided which way he was going to go just to try and dodge
Yeah.
the potholes.
Obviously, like, I mean, something like it really came into play there because, I mean, firstly, the ground clearance is good. I think it's like 210.
210,
Yeah.
yes.
So the nice thing, or I think the thing that people really need to understand about this is the car has gotten bigger, but its off-road capabilities has been so slightly affected that it makes no, like, it's not really going to do anything for you. So you really are okay buying the five door. It's not a compromise of any sort. It's just more space and, you know, more. There's another reason to take people with you on your adventures. And also, there's just better, call it, packing space. So what we did actually is we kept all our luggage in the boot and all our, like, call it, camping stuff. So we had a car that had some of the extra, like, bedding and, you know, stuff like that for the
Oh,
camping.
yeah.
So again, I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but we made it to the border. That was our first destination. Again, Botswana. Seamless. You get into Botswana like using their border control. Absolutely seamless. What a pleasure. Friendly staff, very helpful. It's amazing. And that was our first, call it, stop. We had a bit of a regroup. Everyone went in to stamp their passports. From there, we went to, I can't remember what's the name of this lodge. The first and last stop.
Oh, celepsy or something.
I have no idea. But that was our first stop,
Yes,
basically,
there was
right?
lunch.
There was lunch, a quick lunch stop. And when I mean quick, we got out of the lodge. We drove across a road
Yes.
into where the guide was obviously very well versed in the area because I would have never known where to go. It wasn't like a road that you follow. It was like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like we turned off the road into like a random bush
Yes,
almost.
we
And
did.
we followed like a very narrow path.
But we actually went the wrong way and we had to come back because some of us got lost. So we were following a car. So the guide, Hideo, he had gone off and someone, I think, got stuck. And there was a few of us behind that person. And when that person left, they went the wrong way. And we all followed them. And then because we had the CB radios, which was nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm like a kid with those things.
Yeah. No, the CB radio, that was like so cool because we could radio everyone.
No, but you know, also another thing is it creates this like vibe, right?
Yeah.
So for example, the guy, like, you know, you're driving through, you just get onto this gravel and he picks up this thing and, you know, you just hear that little static and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Botswana. And, you know, it's like such a vibe. And also, like, I don't know, it's just, we were driving in convoy. And I won't lie to you, our convoy was so protective of, like, one another. The way we, like, we'd literally be radioing, listen, there's a guy coming from the back. He's driving like this. Just
Yeah,
watch him. Like, you know, like, it was absolutely amazing.
but
Really.
also the guide would give us like history lessons while we were driving.
Okay, so I actually want to get him on the show.
Yes.
Because apparently he handles quite a few launches. He's done Namibia. He does far into Africa. But just for someone to have so much of information on an area. So to give you an understanding, he took us onto this dry riverbed, right? Where we drove in this riverbed for how many kilometers do you think that was?
Sure, I don't know.
It was a lot, right? And within this riverbed, you're coming across all these obstacles, all this different type of terrain. And do you know, he tells us, okay, I'm going to show you guys something. Those of you who want to come with, we're going to stop somewhere. I want to show you a Bushman rock painting. You know, he discovered that. It's not like
yes.
mapped out. It's not like you can Google it or anything. So he's literally explored the area so extensively that he found Bushman rock painting in a cave.
Yeah. And it's quite high up. It's not like he just was wandering somewhere and found it. You had to go like quite far rock climbing.
Listen, you're climbing with your hands and your legs. It's not like a hike. It's not like, you know, like you're walking. You're climbing. You're climbing on boulders between the rocks, up the rocks. And like I'm saying, from like the bottom, there's no way you can see it.
Mm.
If you climb up halfway, you still wouldn't see it.
No.
So it's
you have to go inside to see it. And I made the mistake of going up with my gimbal and my camera. And I didn't have enough hands to climb up. So I had to keep on asking people in front of me and behind me to hold my stuff just so that I could navigate.
So I climbed up all the way to the top, like above the cave.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I had to. The view from there was
absolutely you're a hiker.
Stunning. No, but it was just so stunning, man. It was like, I don't know, I had to.
No, but it was, mashallah, it was very, but let's, on that note, let's take a break. And after the break, we'll continue with our journey with the Germany 5 door.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. I feel like we're saying that so many times today because we've had a bit of a technical glitch, but alhamdulillah, it seems to be sorted out. If you've just joined us, myself and Ziad are talking about, well, a few things, but it's all brought together by one very special vehicle. We're talking road trips, we're talking off-roading, we're talking about
cross-border,
Polokwane, Botswana, but everything because of one very special car, Ziad, the five-door Suzuki Germany.
Yes.
Right? So we're talking about the guide. And like I said, I need to get him on the show because I just want to find out how does someone explore an area to that extent, you know, where you personally find something of interest. And he just knows where to go. And it's these little bits of information that he keeps popping by. Guys, you know what? If you look to the left, you'll see there's the blah, blah, blah. And it means that it's left. I promise you, it keeps you so engaged. Botswana's terrain is very weird. Like, somehow you just know you're in Botswana. There's certain parts of it, it's got like a Mars feel to it. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, it does.
It's like dry. It's like very
arid. Very dry.
Yeah. It's very dusty. Like, to the point where, I think you mentioned to me before the show, if you got off onto that sand, it's hotter than beach sand.
Yeah.
And if you got some of that sand into your shoe, you were in problems. Like, it was.
And we did.
We definitely did. Did you guys get stuck at all?
No, we didn't.
Same with us. Not one person in the convoy got stuck. I just want to say that we are all running. Okay. All of the test fleet was running highway tires, like highway bias tires. That's just the normal.
No, it wasn't. So it was deflated to about 1.5.
Yeah.
But so that it could go on the highway and on the terrain
so
that
it's
we went
cool
to. So it wasn't.
It's called a hybrid. It's called a hybrid, basically.
Yeah. So it wasn't really like off road, but it wasn't.
No, but I mean the tire itself is not an all terrain or mud terrain or whatever.
We had the Bridgestone. What's it called? Dula. No.
Is it Dula all terrain?
I think so. And the lead car had the Dunlop Grand Track.
Yeah. So the Grand Track is like.
Proper.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think BF Goodrich make a KO2 for the Germany, or 3, I can't remember. But, I mean, it performed really well. I think the vehicle is so nimble and so light that it's just like up and over everything, you know?
Yeah, you actually don't feel like you're doing anything like technical, you know, like when you go in to, even if it's like you're climbing over a rock or something, you actually don't feel like you're doing that. But obviously, in a bigger vehicle, you have to be more careful of the angle that you take and whatever. I mean, you obviously still have to be careful with that, but I mean, it's effortless.
But also, what I really like is, especially on this route that they took you, I don't think a lot of other 4x4s would make it based on size. You know, like those, there's call it rocks that you need to get through, like pass between. And literally, a Germany can fit in there. And after that, it's done.
They all were very narrow spaces. I mean, they were the guide was actually saying to us, there's a rock on like your right, just be careful of it because you don't want to knock it. But like you're saying, the other 4x4s wouldn't make it through there because it was such a narrow space. So we went through quite a few dry river beds. I think it was the Thule River. And we ended up in the Limpopo River. So we actually camped on the border of Botswana and South Africa.
And just so everyone can understand, this is wild camping. It's not, you know, your fancy lodge or whatever. And like you hear animals, you see them. We almost felt them. Zaire had a close encounter. We heard lions. Like I think it was about 3 in the morning. And the thing about a lion's roar or whatever sound that particular one is making, because it hasn't like a full-on roar, you don't know how far this lion is. And the guide was there. He's like, no, it's very far from here, but I mean that's enough to wake you up at night. Like it's enough, you know.
No, we thought that someone was revving an M4 there because that's what it sounded like. But I mean, it was early in the morning. They obviously woke up for Fajr and then they were having a chat. And we actually heard the baboons as well.
Yes.
Did you hear the baboons? It
Yeah.
sounded like they were doing some martial arts or something, the way they were carrying on. And we saw them as well. So it wasn't fenced at all. Like you said, it was
So
literally
they
we're in the
literally
bush.
set up the vehicles. They park it in like a sea, and on the other side of the sea to make a circle is all the tents. So we basically use the vehicles and the tents to create this like barrier. And the guys from the camp even told us, listen, don't leave the circle at night. Like, don't be wandering around. They actually put up these cameras and stuff. And the night before, a leopard walked through there, an elephant walked through there. Like, you could literally see the holes in the ground from like where they stomp, you know? And
But apparently there was about 40 elephants that came through that place. We didn't see it. It was a few nights before. I don't know if it was when you were there.
So we saw the elephants when we were leaving. In fact, we just got into Botswana. If I tell you, we got into the first star road, and on the left of us was the entire family of elephants. It's a bit surreal because, like, I think in South Africa, if you're in a national park or whatever it is, you expect it. Not on like a road. Like, you know, you wouldn't be driving to Nelspruit and look to the side and see elephants or something. That's literally how it was.
But apparently, I don't know, like, I'm sure I heard they said there's only 2 million people in Botswana, so the rest is wildlife. So we also on the tar road, we were driving, and next to us was zebra running, and I was driving. And they were running at the same pace as the car was going. And all of a sudden, one came right in, like literally in front of me. And I saw it coming. So I obviously slowed down, but I didn't like, you know, panic. My partner was hysterical because he thought it was either going to come into us or I was going to knock it, you know, like one of the two. And he was videoing it because, you know, they were like next to us and it was so nice, you know. Oh, yeah, the zebra running next to us. And then all of a sudden, I think the video just stopped because he got such a shock. And he's like, Ziad, why are you so calm? I'm like, I live in Johannesburg. We see taxis all the time to this. Like, so we had a zebra crossing, an actual zebra crossing, as we got into Botswana.
So in terms of anything that went wrong, we had wine. Okay, it wasn't anything major. It was something that was unavoidable to a certain extent. But as we're driving, on the radio, before comes, guys, watch out, there's a truck who's like really flying on the way, and he's throwing up so many stones. And the moment that message finished, the next radio came in, he just got us. The moment he was done, we got two really hard ones. It actually cracked our windscreen and hit the roof. So, yeah, so we radioed him, yep, get us into that list of vehicles that need window replacements or windshields. So, yeah, we got it nasty in the middle of the windscreen, and it was just because of the heat. I mean, it's so hot. It was just going.
So the whole time you drove, it was...
Yeah, so this was on our way in, so we unfortunately had it on the vehicle.
Because I think we had your car afterwards, and it looked fine.
No, they 100% they probably changed it. Because they actually were like rushing to get our vehicle and another vehicle back in time to get it sorted. Suzuki are like on the ball.
So we drove, and obviously you drove the same car. It was kinetic yellow.
So that's what's funny or ironic, because I thought, okay, listen, let me get the kinetic yellow in the auto, in the GLX. I'm sure Ziad left something else so that we can compare notes. Lo and behold, we had the exact car. So my car's number was number 7, and so was yours, kinetic yellow. So we both basically drove the GLX auto. I haven't driven the manual, but I can tell you personally, the auto is the one to get. I'm just so lazy.
No, but I think also why it was good, because the other guys were battling. They were literally sweating with the manual, getting through that terrain. And we were like, what are you guys talking about? Because it was so easy. But we went in the manual with the Grand Vitara. And it was a bit strenuous changing gears all the time. I mean, it's not like strenuous, but I mean, you know, we have to move down a gear, go up and whatever while we were going up the mountain. Yeah. So I thought, this is not going to happen again. We're going to have even tougher terrain. And we had the auto, which was seamless.
So let me tell you what's ironic or funny, what I just realized. Grand Vitara, Bronx, XL6, Germany 5 door.
Yes.
I only drove the auto.
Is it?
Yeah. All of them were auto.
Oh, yeah. We went together in the Grand Vitara.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But XL6 we were, it was auto.
Yes.
Franks we were, it was auto.
Yeah.
No, this one.
Sure. You're lazy.
You know what? It's just, I you don't really choose your car. You get it, you know?
Yeah. So no, it's assigned to us.
Your car chooses you.
Your car chooses. Yeah. So the features that are added onto the 5-door, besides the extra doors, you'd think that because there's extra seats and an extra door, they're actually, you have less space, because that's what normally happens when you have like a 7-door vehicle as opposed, I mean, 7-seat vehicle. But this actually has extra luggage space as well. So it's a bigger luggage space. I think it was how many? 300 liters?
I'm not sure liters, but I think
and
it was.
If you put the seats down, you get up to 1,000 liters. So
do they fall flat, the seats?
They do.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And then we've got a new screen. So we've actually gone away from that CB radio looking infotainment system, and we've got a full screen, which has a reverse camera.
So the screen is there. It looks modern and nice.
Yeah.
But I really love, it's in the old one as well. It's like rugged design. It's kind of like borrowed from the Defender.
Yes,
you know, with the bar across the dashboard for the passenger to hold on.
Yeah.
The way the switches are, it's like very like industrial, off-road. Yeah. I love that. It's just
no, but
so plastic.
Even the 4x4 gear selector is still true to the Jimny.
I promise you, for me, right, and this is weird. These dials, I don't feel in control. I'm someone who needs to be in control. Like, I want to feel like I've put the vehicle into four-wheel low and I've locked the diff and, like, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
I just want to just turn a dial and then hear this trickery, like, going on in the background and clucking and whining and stuff and, like, okay, yes, go for it.
You don't believe it.
I don't believe it. And also, don't use for me. Don't tell me saying does that. Like, I'll tell you what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also another thing is there's three new colors that are exclusive to the 5 door.
Yes.
And all three actually look quite nice. The one is called a sizzling red metallic. Yes. Celestial, sorry.
No, before you go on, so that's with all of them have the two-tone roof, is it?
Yes, they do. Not all of them, sorry, one. It's only the sizzling red.
Oh.
Yeah, and then there's celestial blue, which is really nice. And then the color that I really liked was the granite gray. What color would you take? So obviously this is in addition to the other colors that are available, but that's also available in the 3-door model. What color would you take though?
So the red was the top of the range.
It looked amazing.
I wanted to take it, yeah. But then the kinetic yellow somehow drew it to me, and obviously because it was auto as well, I chose that. And I would, if I were to buy one, I would say the yellow stands out quite nice.
Okay. I think, I really like this jungle green.
Is it?
Yeah.
The blue actually looks quite nice as well.
Even the black. Is blue or whatever, blue is black.
Yeah.
That one also looks nice. Chiffon ivory is stunning. So there's really like so many new options now in terms of just the look of the vehicle as well.
But besides that, I think what's going to really take off is kitting that vehicle.
100%.
I personally would buy it just to kit it out.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish I could do this as a project. You buy it, you do the all-terrain tires, you maybe look at some sort of suspension because you want to do a roof rack, a snorkel, you know.
A ladder.
Yeah. It looks like those expedition vehicles, you know.
No, you definitely could. I think there's going to be lots of businesses that are going to come up that are going to specialize in accessories for gymnasts.
That's the nice thing. Like Suzuki has provided such a nice platform for enthusiasts to go out and play, you know?
Yeah.
If you look at a company like Front Runner, they literally specialize, okay, they do it for all vehicles, but the products that they have for Germany are so nice. Like, whether you cycle, whether you camp, whether you fish, such specialized product for their vehicles, you know, for their roof racks. So it's just really nice stuff.
Yeah, it would have been nice if we actually had a camping tent attached to the gym.
Oh, the rooftop one.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to try those. I think we should get in touch with, you know, Sunny Rentals.
Right.
And ask them if we can test drive two of the...
Do they have chimneys?
They don't have chimneys, but I'm just saying the rooftop tent. Because they got it on, I think, a Hilux or something.
Okay, we should try it out.
We can go back to Botswana. I really want to go back, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, like I actually spoke to the guys at Suzuki. I was like, listen, give me a vehicle. I want to go back again. Like dead serious, right?
But would you go by yourself? You see, I enjoyed it because I was in a convoy. I think I don't know if I'm not capable of doing it on my own. It's just that I'm worried I'm in the middle of nowhere and, you know, there's nobody to assist me.
Look, I understand what you're saying. It's always better to off-road or anything in a convoy. At least two cars. You know, if something goes wrong, someone can throw you out, someone can help you out, fuel, etc. So for that reason, yeah, maybe we must do a bumper-to-bumper Botswana. What do you think?
Not only restricted to Botswana.
Why, where do you want to go?
No, like all over Africa, we should do like different expeditions.
Yeah, but let's start off with Botswana.
Okay, we can just because you know it.
Because
okay.
We kind of know it, so we can do that same wild camping. We can do
the same wild
camping. I really
not during summer, though.
Please tell me you looked up at night.
Oh.
It was
Subhanallah. The stars. I've never seen so many stars in the sky ever.
It looked like I don't know. It didn't look real. I've never seen that.
It was a live planetarium. So you didn't have to.
I've been like look at it.
Right.
There's
yes.
millions of stars.
Right.
But I've never seen it like this. Mm-hmm. I think we were so far flung, like so like out of everything. And like you say, Botswana is quite like you have to drive a distance before you get anywhere in the big city. I was in awe. There was a time during the night after supper, I was staring up for like 50 minutes. I couldn't even imagine.
So the camp guide actually showed us Venus and Orion's belt.
Okay.
And he was just, I think there's other stars that he was naming, but
So that's the nice thing. I think if you're like, you know, with a bunch of like city dwellers like us, you could just lie about everything. Like, this is Saturn. Like, we're just like, wow, shit. Like, there's no way. And I think the most frustrating part is because I tried to pack light, I didn't take my actual camera with me. There
Oh.
was no way of capturing. Please tell me you got some.
I couldn't capture it with the camera.
Oh,
So I
really?
had to use my phone. I captured it with the phone.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the moon. The red, did you have a red? We had a red moon. But I couldn't capture it with anything. But yeah, you see there was not enough light ref even though there were so many stars, they couldn't bounce off any light, so I couldn't capture it for some reason with the camera. I also don't have a very professional camera, so
No, so I think I would have got it right if I took my actual camera,
yeah.
because I've done those like star trails and stuff
Right.
before in the crew, and it worked out for me.
Oh, okay.
But that's why, like, you just keep the shutter open basically,
Yeah.
like for a long period.
No, so I tried everything that I could, but obviously my camera is very basic.
But look, all in all, I really enjoyed Botswana. I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much if I wasn't in a Germany, no lie.
Yeah.
I want one.
Did you go to Solomon Mahlangu's, well,
Oh,
Solomon's
that wall.
Wall?
Yes, I
So
did.
apparently it was a dam that was there, and there was two parts of the wall,
Okay.
and I think it actually broke through, and that's why there's no longer a dam.
So, if just to explain, it looks like a cliff face,
Yes.
but then someone said that the myth behind it is that it's man-made,
Yeah, that's what I heard.
but it's not apparently.
I don't see how it would be the.
Can't be man-made.
No,
It doesn't look
it doesn't
man-made.
look
It's like
man-made.
a little mountain, like a wall. The
Yeah.
mountain looks like a wall.
But then if it was a dam, then it could be man-made. I
But how do they make it look like a mountain?
don't know. How did they make pyramids?
Thank
So that's
you, Patrick.
another discussion for another day. But all in all, yes, so Botswana, the government, the border patrol,
Just to explain to you the
the
difference, right?
meat that was there,
The
all our
meat
meat
that
was
was there.
halal.
So coming back into Botswana,
Yeah.
coming back. Botswana side, into South Africa, for I think we're 32 of us, took us about 40 minutes.
Okay.
Done, dusted, everyone left.
Right.
South African side, 4 hours.
4 hours.
Four hours.
So we were lucky, we were fortunate enough.
Yeah.
They were offline when we came into South Africa, so we didn't have to do any biometrics or anything. They just stamped us and we went on our
So
way.
sorry, what is the border we came back in? It wasn't the same.
Pont d'Oeuvre or something,
One trip.
I
Yes,
think.
it was a different one. You're right.
Yeah.
Because we made like a loop almost.
Yeah. And just as we were coming in, I don't know if it was on the, was it in the Limpopo side? There was a mountain, and Hideo, the guide, said to us, "There's actual dinosaur prints in there." Did he tell you about that? So there was, I can't remember where it was actually.
So this was once you were into South Africa
I think
again.
when we got into all the potholes, just before the potholes.
So I can understand why. So we actually broke up into two groups,
Oh,
right?
okay.
The reason is we were so delayed. So I'm almost certain we were rushing to get our flight. So we were supposed to come back like to Polokwane, go to Fusion, freshen up, have a bit of time to relax, and then take a shuttle to the airport. We literally took our bags from the journey into the shuttle and left. Plus, it was so funny because as we were coming back in, every board that I passed said Polokwane 47 kilometers. If I look down on the range, 47 kilometers. Next one, 22. I look on the range, 22. Eventually, it just became dashes. I radioed in guys, I can't play this game anymore. I can't do it. I need to stop for fuel. So, stop for fuel, fueled me up, and get it on. So, I was literally the last person to arrive.
Okay. I don't think we reached that where it was that bad though. Yeah.
I was, when you drive into the filling station, it's like only you're seeing dashes. There's
Yeah.
like no more range left.
How fast were you driving?
We needed to catch our flight. So, you know what we haven't discussed? There's the pricing on these models.
Yes.
Do you have the pricing? Do you know
Not
that?
offhand.
So, I can tell you the 1.5 GL menu, right, is 429,900. The 1.5 GLX menu is 457,900. And obviously, in my personal and professional point of view, the one to have is the 5-door GLX automatic. And that will set you back 479,900. All these models come with a 5-year 200,000 promotional warranty and a 4-year 60,000 service pay.
And I think it's well worth it, 480,000 for a 4x4.
It's a proper 4x4. It's not a soft roader. It's not, it can take you where everyone else can go. Like,
I think it can take you to even more places. Because like we said, there were some narrow spaces that other 4x4s wouldn't be able to get into.
In a serious note, right? I think it would be a nice exercise to take two very different 4x4s. So instead of doing like two Jimneys or whatever,
okay,
let's look at getting two different. Like, they must be like completely different.
Okay, dibs on the Defender.
Oh, okay. That's comfort, right? I'll take the Jimny, it's fine.
Okay.
So we do a Jimny and a Defender. Wouldn't that be a cool road?
We should try it out.
Huh?
So back to the same place.
I wouldn't mind. You won't make it through the...
I'll go a different route.
I think we must try to reach that. That would be fun.
Inshallah.
And we can do a broadcast from Botswana.
But it must be a family trip.
Yeah, we can do that. It'll be fun.
Inshallah. Okay, so that's it for today's show.
Does that bring us to the end of today? It's very exciting. You know, the whole show, we only spoke about one vehicle.
We dedicated the whole show to the Jimny 5-door.
I think it's deserving.
Yes, it was.
How many stars do you give it?
Oh, what's it out of?
Five.
Then definitely six.
Really?
No, I think in terms of... See, one of the things that I always wanted to do was to drive on sand.
Mm-hmm.
And that car was so capable on driving on sand, it was unbelievable.
So literally with us, we were in the auto, right? You'd be able to tell.
Yeah.
The moment you feel the vehicle like basically like bearing itself, you literally just change direction of the steering like a little bit aggressively and gun the throttle and it pulls itself out.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing.
No, the
traction control works like very well. I've seen, like, I've obviously seen and driven a few vehicles that have traction control, like 4x4 systems. This one is definitely one of the better ones. Eh?
No, it definitely, I mean, I was like, I loved it when I drove the 3-door, but I love it even more now with the 5-door and going through all those different terrains.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely I give it a 6 stars. And yourself?
Well, look, I definitely give it 5 stars. There's no way I can fault it. Really. Maybe if you're getting a load, and like, you must remember, Jimny is aimed at, like, call it a younger person. It's not really your like serious, you know, like road trip vehicle in that regard. It'll take you wherever, but you're not going to be in, like, you know, you can't be in a rush. It's for people who want to appreciate the environment. They want to take the long road. They want to be on the road. The journey is part of the destination type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's for those type of people. So definitely, I can't fault it in any way. It's a stunning vehicle. And to be honest with you, I think it's a vehicle that will hold its value pretty decently. I think the moment Suzuki opens up orders, it's going to be a massive backlog. Like when the 3-door came out, I don't know if you remember, there wasn't even vehicles in the press fleet. Like, mm-hmm. They were forced to sell them.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be another situation. The supply and demand, it's not going to...
But even now with the 3-doors, you go and try and find a secondhand one, a used 3-door. Yes. People that own Jimny's are not willing to give them up.
That's a very valid point that you make, eh? Because they hold their price like really well. You find ones with relatively high mileage, which is, again, testament to the engine, you know.
Yeah.
It can really take you there.
And it's Suzuki's 1.5 engine that...
315V, man.
That they use all over. That's how versatile it is.
Yes. It's really such a versatile engine in terms of, look at the vehicles it's in.
Yeah.
Basically, the whole lineup.
It is.
And each car has a slightly different feel.
Yeah.
And it suits that particular body style. I think of the SL6. and think of this.
Yeah.
You get it?
So it's in the Baleno, right? It's in the Franx. It's in the Grand Vitara. It's in the XL6. It's in the Jimny. What are we missing? No. I think it's in the Sierras also.
Is it? Okay. I didn't...
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. But like, I mean, a lot of these vehicles
have
this engine. And like I'm saying, it's just different states of tune. And it's really amazing.
No, and it works for them. And yeah.
And the first time I heard the four-speed auto, I was like, why four-speed? Like, everyone's giving you... Like, I mean, Ford Range is giving what's it, 8 or 9 speed now.
Yeah.
Why are you guys...
10 speed.
10 speed.
10 speed.
Yeah. So, you know, why are we doing four? And it just somehow works.
No, it works. Definitely. And I mean, even for fuel consumption. Obviously, you were driving quite fast, but yeah.
I had a flag to get. You know I'm always late. That's like the signature of me.
But thank you once again to Suzuki for hosting us last week and for the entire team that put the whole route and package together for
us. Such an amazing route, seriously.
Yes. And go out and test drive the Suzuki Jimny. Tell us what you, the 5-door, tell us what you think about it. Tag us in your pictures if you buy one. Share some videos with us. But have an awesome week. Until next week, inshallah. Remember the Ummah in your du'as. Remember us in your du'as. And have a safe one, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time. All thanks to Allah.